Good morning. Welcome into In Focus on News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis producing things on the other side of the glass, and it's NBAF Day on In Focus, as it is the first Thursday of every month. Joining us in studio, I'll go right to left. I'll go Dr. Ken Burton, NBAF coordinator for USDA APHIS. Thanks for being here.
You bet. Morning, Brandon.
And we've got Dr. Marty Vanier joining us here. She's with K-State, assisting the Agriculture Research Service with USDA. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Brandon.
Good. Glad to have you back here. And we've also got someone else in studio, Tim Barr. He's the program manager for NBAF. Thanks for being here.
Hello, Brandon. Glad to be here again.
All right. It's nice to have everybody back here. Of course, big news this week at NBAF. We spoke on the phone the other day, Dr. Burton. Got a new NBAF center director.
We do, Brandon, and we're really excited that the selection has been announced and looking forward to having Dr. Clavijo be here October 15th. So a lot of excitement, a lot of good things going forward with him being here on the ground.
What does having someone who has some experience at K-State, what does that bring to the NBAF facility?
Well, you know, with always, we've talked on a lot of the radio programs about how important it is to understand the local region, the local community, and to be able to demystify NBAF and be able to share information so that people understand the importance and what research is being done there. And Dr. Clavijo is going to bring that capability, because not only does he have the scientific expertise and background and the leadership capabilities, but he also has the awareness of the community and the university, and I think it's just going to be a real great person to lead the unit.
And his expertise, he's worked in Canada for the Centers for Disease Control, food disease?
He's currently the director of the Canadian Food Inspection Agency's National Centers for Animal Disease. So that's basically Canada's comparable facility to NBAF.
Okay. And that's in Winnipeg?
Yes. Canada. Yeah, okay. Winnipeg, Canada.
All right. Well, that's obviously he's got a good resume here. I understand he's well-published in science as well. Have you guys all had a chance to meet the new director here?
Well, I've met him a couple of times over the years and knew him when he was here at the vet school.
And some members of my staff have met him when he was here interviewing, actually. I was unable to attend that, but yeah, he has been out to the site and seen that.
Well, this is obviously a big deal. Where does this put you guys in scope of getting everything prepared out there in the next couple years?
Well, you know, we've already got a tremendous amount of work being done by the working groups with USDA to get the requirements and get everything in place in time for USDA moves into the NBAF facility December 10th of 2020. But the thing that Dr. Clavijo will bring is just that center director and that point of contact leadership that it just kind of brings everything together into a focal point that will move us on forward as we need to.
Great. Well, that's obviously good news for NBAF this week. And as projects continue to move on, I understand there's been a lot of laboratory visits as well recently.
There has. You know, one of the things that we're also doing is we're collaborating with other laboratories, not only within the United States, but also internationally, because there's a lot of things that these laboratories have learned as they've stood up their facilities that they're very willing to share with NBAF and USDA personnel. So the safety, health, environmental management, facilities, biorisk manager, and our lab support services personnel have made some visits to BSL-3, BSL-4 laboratories, not ag laboratories, but laboratories in the United States. And those laboratories have been extremely willing to open up and talk about some of the challenges that they've faced, how they've addressed them, you know, things that we can do to, again, minimize risk, but also be ready to start doing research in NBAF as soon as possible.
I think when we spoke the other day, you were coming back from one of those visits, right?
I was. We were in. I was coming back from Atlanta. We were at the Center for Disease Control facility, and then also went to Emory University to visit their infectious disease unit, and that's where they handled the Ebola patients from the 2014 African Ebola outbreak.
Wow!
Very interesting.
Yeah, I imagine people can learn a lot here just from that, just from past experiences and having that shared experience will go a long way, I imagine.
Definitely, definitely.
Well, that's good to know. As far as other items, is there any visits planned here at NBAF in the near future with these folks?
We've, at this point, we've extended the invitation down the road. At this point, they are so busy with their research and things that are going on that they probably won't be sending any individuals right away. But down the road, we definitely want to continue the collaboration and share information back and forth.
All right. NBAF, again, our guests here on In Focus. Bring on Tim Barr here for a little bit of a construction update today. What's the latest going on out there?
We continue to be on schedule, on budget, on the $1.25 billion endeavor that we're currently in. As of the end of, let's see, the last financials were the end of July. No, yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah, end of August, rather. We are $1.05 billion in on the $1.25 billion, so like 84% spent and complete. On target for, as Ken was saying, achieving substantial completion of construction in December of 2020, which is when folks can move into the facility, and then completion of commissioning in May of 2021. We're on target for both of those milestones.
Well, that's good to hear. And, you know, I drive by there quite a bit. I don't see a lot happening maybe so much on the outside. Of course, it's a little hard to see because it's fenced off, but a lot of the construction is probably more happening indoors.
Yes. We are well past the point of erecting the structure and past the point of installing equipment. Now we are getting into the phase of some final connectivity on certain control systems. But really starting to get into some of the critical facility testing that goes on. For example, on some portions of the labs, you do pressure decay testing. You pressurize a room, and it's got to hold a certain level of pressure for some period of time that's specified in the regulations. So that level of testing has started already on individual rooms. That'll then progress to systems and then entire wings of the facility. So that's just an example of a lot of the work that, as you say, you can't see from the outside any longer. That's going on at quite a hectic pace. We were at the point of spending approximately $20 million a month. We're now off that peak down to $15, $16 million a month. And the on-site worker population is also then decreasing from the peak of 600, 650 folks a day down to now about 500, 450 folks a day on site.
Wow. Okay. Well, it's interesting because, you know, a lot of construction projects, you know, you get hampered. They get delayed. To hear that it's on time and on budget, it's got to make you guys just be thrilled.
Yes. Yes. And I will point out again that we're continued. The General Accounting Office, GAO, does an annual review of large DHS procurements, and we continue to be rated green on their scorecard, and we're going to keep it that way.
Oh, very good. What is the purpose of the Memorandum of Understanding between DHS and USDA that was signed in June?
So with the advent of the transfer of operational planning and operational responsibility for MBAF from DHS to USDA, there were lots of details that are associated with that. So both agencies wanted to memorialize at a somewhat of a broad level, but just to make sure that those responsibilities for the various aspects of the activities that have to take place to enable that transfer were outlined. And simplistically, that was the purpose of the MOA, that USDA is going to do this, DHS is going to do this, and basically a setup by phases. So for the phase we're in now, and then up to the point of the end of construction and commissioning, and then even beyond that, a future DHS, talking about broadly a future DHS role with the facility with regards to understanding the research and how that fits into DHS priorities.
Okay. I want to talk a little bit more about that. Let's take a break. We'll come back more in focus after this on News Radio KMAN.